Sarah Fiedelholtz, welcome.
Thank you.
You are launching a fascinating multimedia production called And Good Company. Congratulations. And in one sentence, what's it about?
Well, And Good Company is designed to provide an atmosphere that allows for one-on-one conversations and roundtable discussions in an in-depth manner.
Okay, the mediums at play, television, radio, podcast, on demand. What's the saturation advantage here, Sarah?
Well, I think in today's world, you have to be relevant and available wherever and whenever users and viewers want to find you.
And you're rightfully satisfying your flair for conversation as well. That might be the most important part here. When and where did that passion develop?
I think that I really saw it in my parents. My father has a tendency to just be willing to talk to anybody everywhere. And my mother had a tendency to just pick up every piece of paper and information and, you know, find out things. And then also, I just think that I'm naturally curious, but more than that, I think I was really nosy.
And might we guess that your parents were not journalists? They were just wonderful parents.
No, my father was a cardiologist internist and my mother worked for my dad.
Okay. We do get the caring factor there. That's most interesting. And you also note that you're expressing national issues through a local lens. And that's the stuff that really tasty table talk is made of, fair and square. It's also storytelling at its homiest, you might say. Why does this specific platform at the table appeal to you?
Well, when I thought about it, and when you go to a dinner party, it's not really about the food. It's really about the diverse group of people sitting around the table, talking, laughing, debating, engaging in conversation. And so, And Good Company wanted to create an environment to be able to have really good and great conversation. The idea is that you're creating an environment where you can introduce new people and illuminate difficult issues and topics. Because, you know, we're in a society today where it's all about a quick hit or a soundbite, and then people accuse it of being taken out of context and misquoted. You know, we don't have the opportunity to sit down and have a meaningful, engaging, and thoughtful conversation with somebody.
Great point. And as a matter of fact, you're with your guest for the better part of an hour.
Yep.
Do you ever run out of, well, imaginary food, but real conversation?
No, because I think that partly in thinking about who the guests are going to be, obviously, because we're looking at national issues through local lens, I wanted to find members of the Northeast Indiana community from a wide range of fields and backgrounds. So, I mean, we're looking to cover everything from science and politics, art, business, academia, public service, humanities, healthcare, and really want to capture people who are doing interesting things. And the truth of the matter is, because this is sort of my dinner party, I get to do the inviting. So in a lot of cases, these are people that through my previous experiences as a journalist and interviewing them, that are people that I've wanted to continue the conversation, or I've wished when I was interviewing them that I really could be talking to them about something else that I found interesting or novel or something that they're doing. So that's really how I went about finding some of the guests. But of course, I'm using my skills and experience as a journalist to make sure that I am looking for people who can add to the conversation and, you know, bring something to the table.
Now, your production is a collaboration with several arms of the Allen County Public Library's Access Fort Wayne airwaves. How does that work?
Access Fort Wayne is the community cable channel and radio station. Basically, through grants, they get funding where anyone in the community can produce a show, be it for television or radio, and they provide the services and the use of their studio and equipment and people to help you do that. But you have to sort of do the work, and I think you have to have the vision, both for what you want the content to be and do, and where you want to take it.
So you certainly are the producer and the originator. It's your brainchild. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, I would. What I call this is a personal passion project. As things have changed and I looked at my career and where I am, and I wanted to have the opportunity to build on some skills or do some things that would challenge me and that I could sort of stretch. You know, this is sort of my ode to the journalists on a national level that I really admire and that I think really demonstrate what it means to be a very good interviewer. And that would be Terry Gross from Fresh Air's, you know, NPR. James Lipton, who did Inside the Actor's Studio, and then Charlie Rose, despite his personal downfall. I truly believe that he was one of the best interviewers of the 20th century. And what all of these three individuals had is their tireless efforts to do the research and prepare for the interviews. Because I think that really what comes through is the way that they guide those conversations, because it should be more of a conversation than an interview. But in print, traditionally, you don't have that opportunity to have that kind of interview because you're actually there to get information to be able to then translate into print to tell a story. So by using audio and video, you really want to utilize the ability of having more of a conversation. But you still need the skills of being able to interview and ask questions, and you need to be prepared.
Great points, and certainly you are, and it shows. Now, your skill sets as a journalist are well established and respected, Sarah.
Well, thank you.
Of all the mediums you've met and mastered, what was your first love?
Well, ironically, my first love was magazines, but not as a writer. I didn't necessarily want to aspire to be the next Woodward and Bernstein or, you know, write the great American novel. What I loved about magazines was the packaging and how they looked and how they were able to create these environments that were so engaging and enriching, and the stories that they told. And so when I thought about going into magazine publishing, I thought, well, I guess I have to become a writer because that's what I knew. So that's how I started.
And I expect it will always be a passion. But fast forward, what about now? Do you have a new recent personal favorite?
Yeah, I always say that really my favorite now is radio, because I get to do the things that I like best, which is preparing for the interview and doing the research and then asking questions. And then I don't have to write anything. I find that I really appreciate the medium, and I like the idea that it's much more direct, because in print, a lot of times you are interpreting what someone says. But when you talk to them and record it, be it, you know, on video or audio, you are being able to capture the important and smart conversations as they happen.
I just have to ask at this point, do you like dinner parties in real time?
You know, it's been so long since I probably have been to a real dinner party. But I like the gathering of people from different backgrounds and who don't know each other. I was always one of those people in college that never had just one group of friends. I was always the one that had one friend from this group and one friend from that group. So I like the idea of bringing people together, wouldn't know each other, and getting them to experience and have conversations. But I think that it depends on the host.
Fair enough. Okay. Your show, And Good Company, is obviously a concept and a format that would adapt to most any location. How will you keep that made-in-Fort Wayne flavor to it, or will you?
Well, looking at issues from a local lens is very, very important. I mean, certainly the whole idea is that we want to look at what's happening in the zeitgeist and the national landscape, but you always want to make it relevant to the market in which you are in. And because we're not a national, you know, yes, that would be great if someday it was a national show. But the truth is that it's a local program. And so it should reflect the people and the topics and what people are talking about here locally, but also helping to get them to engage and talk about things that maybe they're not thinking about or maybe aren't as relevant in their day-to-day lives, but definitely have an impact.
Have you had trouble so far in these table discussions in bringing that kind of feeling to the forefront, to the surface?
No, I think that because I really do spend a tremendous amount of time preparing, and most of the time I don't even get halfway through, you know, all the topics I want to cover, I don't think that that's a challenge. I think that what guests are finding is a little bit different than what they would traditionally find is that it's not an interview. So it's not like we're volleying like tennis. I ask a question, they answer, I ask another question. It's really meant to be woven into a conversation, just as if we were at having dinner. I think that that's really different for people. And also because I don't really tell them what we're going to be talking about. Because just like if you were going to have dinner with somebody, I mean, you know enough about them, but you don't just say, okay, so we're going to cover this, 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 and this while you're having dinner. It's that idea, because I think it's that kind of spontaneity and engagement that allows it to let it go where it wants to go. And I think that's also where you can discover a lot more about the people that you're talking to and conversing with than just trying to think about what's the next question. You really need to be an active listener. And so you really want to think about what the person is saying and then responding to it, as opposed to just having a checklist. Okay, I've asked them that, I've asked them this. You really want to be able to just let the conversation unfold as it happens.
And that is the fine point of being a good conversationalist, which you are proving you are just that.
Well, thank you.
And something tells us that Sarah Fiedelholtz, conversationalist journalist, always has something on that drawing board, or maybe in your case, I'd call a back burner. Anything you can tell us about?
Yes, I have several projects going on as part of my plan B plus here, trying to put a positive spin on change. But I am trying to really look at and explore how to create a content-driven media entity that allows for covering and presenting local news that really reflects on covering all of the community. I think that partly some of the issues as to why people feel that the newspaper or television station isn't necessarily for them is because we're not out there really covering and finding the stories. That is really important. And I think that on a local level, it's critical. We really need to figure out different ways to utilize the medium that we have to present people with information in formats that they want.
We are happy to hear you say that, and we wish you all the luck in the world. Now, a word on the importance of storytelling. It is an ancient custom. It is trending globally. We hope it's not peaked yet. Why, in your mind, is it so incredibly important to our well-being?
Well, I think that there's two reasons. One is that people want to relate to other people's stories. They want to see themselves or hear part of their story or experience through someone else's story so that they can feel a part of it. And that helps us to engage. The other thing is that it helps to make something that may seem not relevant or pertinent to their lives, because they hear about someone's story or someone's trials and tribulations, that it does make it relevant for them, and maybe in a way that they wouldn't. And nobody remembers facts and figures or data, but people remember what people say. As Maya Angelou liked to say, people may not remember what you say, but they'll definitely remember how you made them feel. And so I think in the essence, that's what storytelling does. It engages you and makes you feel.
Great points. And you're there to prove it once a week. Now, last question. Being in good company and every week at the head of that table, what do you get from it all?
I get to sort of have an opportunity in some ways to put my money where my mouth is, which is to say that people do want to be engaged. And despite what everybody says, that people have shorter attention spans and they just want sound bites and blips, I think that if you can engage and create something that resonates, people will show up to listen and to watch. It's by asking, listening, and learning, we discover what we know, but just as importantly, what we don't know. And so that's the idea. But ultimately, you know, I really just want to invite people to come and enjoy a seat at the table for great conversation and good company.
Fort Wayne journalist Sarah Fiedelholtz is creator and executive producer of And Good Company. Sarah, thank you so much for sharing your stories of these stories you're going to be sharing. Do carry it on. Bon appetit.
Thank you.